This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Here is a striking statistic. One in five applications to California's community colleges is a scam. That comes out to hundreds of thousands of bogus students. The scam involves stealing financial aid. They're known as ghost students. They're real people who use stolen identities with no intention of ever setting foot in a classroom or taking an online course. It's a new wrinkle in pandemic-era benefits fraud, and Nanette Asimov wrote about that for the San Francisco Chronicle. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, you spoke to a guy named Richard Valicenti, and he received a $1,400 check in his mailbox last summer. And the Department of Education got in touch with him and said that they had overpaid the Pell Grant he used to attend Saddleback College in Mission Viejo. He had never heard of Saddleback College in Mission Viejo. So tell us more about this story.
Well, not only hadn't he heard about Saddleback, but he'd never even applied for a Pell Grant. And really, why would he? He's 64 years old. He's a radiation oncologist at UC Davis, and he's not about to go sit in a community college classroom. So he was pretty confused, and he wound up checking with the U.S. Department of Education, a credit card checking company, with the IRS, with the police, because he really didn't know what this was about. But as you said, it turned out to be that his name had been part of an identity theft at his employer in 2021, and somebody was using his name to apply for Pell Grants, and it turns out he's just one of thousands in California and an untold number across the country that are participating in a fraud scam. Now that community colleges have gone all online, It's a lot easier for scammers to try and steal these financial aid using identities like Richard Valicenti's.
And why are they targeting community colleges?
Well, community colleges, unlike universities, have to accept everybody with a high school diploma. You know, there's no need to show your SAT scores or anything else. And you don't even have to give your social security number to apply. So it's a very low bar. And what you then need to do, if you want to apply for financial aid, then you have to show a social security number. And that's where the fraud comes in, because scammers, fraudsters have these stolen identities. And this is one of the things that they're doing with them.
And unlike before the pandemic, you can apply online. You don't have to apply in person.
Well, you always could apply online. California uses a statewide system called CCC Apply. What's changed since the pandemic, though, is that you don't have to show up in person. So no college instructor needs to see your face. And that figure you named at the beginning, one in five, you know, there's 2.3 million applications that come in through CCC Apply, and about 460,000 were fake, and the state is able to screen out half of those. So that's 200,000 plus fraudulent applications trickling down to colleges, and that leaves the colleges having to bat them away if they can even figure out which ones are real and which ones aren't.
But the money that these fraudsters are scamming or getting is from the federal government, right, in the form of Pell Grants?
That's right. So once a scammer gets through and manages to enroll in a college, now comes the part where they will try to apply for financial aid. And usually the one they try for is the federal Pell Grant. You don't have to pay it back. You do have to show a social security number, but the bar is, you know, fairly low, especially during the pandemic when the feds stopped checking for family income. So, you know, these kinds of frauds existed before the pandemic, but they just exploded when all of this happened.
But any idea who these scammers are in general or where they're coming from? Are they coming from, I don't know, a Russian bot farm or something? Like what?
They might be from out of the country. They might be from the U.S., they might be from around the corner. But it's interesting that you mentioned bots, because the whoever they are, and they could be everyone, you know, who all kinds of criminals, a variety, but they use bots. They're real people. But then the way they impersonate students online is to use these software algorithms that show up for class and do multiple enrollment attempts, you know, even though maybe the real fraudsters are just three people. And so that's how they use automation to help them with this. And that's why the state and local colleges can try to counterattack with software of their own.
And you write that this is really falling on the shoulders of the local administrators at these colleges, that they're the ones who have to ferret out these fraudsters, even though they're ripping off the federal government. What are they doing, and how much has that impacted their other work?
Oh, my gosh. You just feel so sorry for these people, because I spoke to one admissions officer, and she said that 25% of her time is spent essentially crime fighting and trying to figure out who's real and who's not. I spoke to one woman who's an instructor at Pierce College in LA, and she has figured out a way to more or less quickly identify who is fake and who isn't by looking for such things as consecutive ID numbers. Why would all these ID numbers be consecutive? And so another one is really old people birth dates, like Richard Valicente is 64. Why are there a whole bunch of people in their 60s applying to community college classes? And then strange email addresses. So there's all kinds of clues, but this is not how the college instructors really want to be spending their time. They want to be teaching. They want to be doing whatever they're hired to do. So 25% of your time on this, it's a real impact on colleges.
Wow. And any idea how much money in total has gone to these fraudsters?
Well, that was my big question, and nobody would answer that. So I don't really know. And I don't really know if, say, the feds do know that. But what the Inspector General's office told me is that they have been reporting roughly 100 fraud rings a year since the pandemic began. And the fact is, if you're a college and you disperse financial aid to a fraudulent person, you're on the hook for paying it back. The college has to pay it back.
Ah, I see. So that's why they have to do it.
Yes. And also, fraudulent enrollments crowd out real students. I spoke to colleges where they opened up new course sections just because they thought there were all these people who wanted to come enroll, and come to find out they were all ghost students. At Pierce College, this one instructor had two classes that had filled up with 40 students each, so they asked her to open up a third. And then she realized that most of the students were ghost students, and the first two classes fell down by a half, from 40 to 20-something students. And then the last one fell down to two students after it had filled up. So there's a lot of incentive for them to not have ghost students fill in their roles.
Well, thanks a lot, and thanks for your reporting. Interesting story.
Thanks for having me.
Nanette Asimov covers higher education for the San Francisco Chronicle. All right. This is the second to last day of our emergency summer fundraiser. We're calling it Save Our Summer, SOS. Very clever and also very important that you become a member or renew your membership or give us a little extra, because as we've been discussing, this has been a very, very challenging first half of the year for media organizations. Perhaps you've heard of all the layoffs that are happening all over the place. We just heard today a bunch of layoffs at the LA Times in the newsroom. So that is very sobering and awful, and our hearts go out to our colleagues over there. Also NPR, which we air Morning Edition and All Things Considered from NPR here at KCRW. They had a big round of layoffs. Lots of other organizations, not to mention the big companies like Disney, also laying off people. It's just a very challenging situation out there, and we are feeling it too. So our ad revenues, we call it underwriting here, that is down. But the lion's share of our budget is from you, the listener. So we need you to come and help us out. Save Our Summer, SOS. give us a little bit of a life raft here. Any amount is helpful. So if you are feeling the inflation pinch yourself, maybe you can just dig into the couch cushions or the car cushions and get some extra change there and throw it our way. But kcrw.com/give is the place to go. We have a special incentive today. It's a brand new iPhone, so you might win it. You never know. Donate now. It might be your fabulous summer with your new iPhone at kcrw.com/give. We are going to pull a winner at midnight tonight. kcrw.com/give. We also have some great new swag for you when you go to the website and check it out. New t-shirts and hats and sweatshirts and all that kind of stuff so that you are outfitted perfectly for your summer with all your KCRW merch. So go over there now and show your pride for KCRW, for this unique institution, and save our summer. KCRW.com/give. Coming up, Picasso, Hemingway, Polanski, why we let the genius artists get a pass for bad behavior with women.
You know, and so there's a sort of idea that if the artistic impulse is shaping your work and is driving your work, then your other impulses must be good as well. The impulses to hurt women.
The author of a new book called Monsters is here next on Press Play.